Hebrews chapter 11. We begin reading in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. True faith follows Christ, forsaking everything this world has to offer. That's the only kind of faith God gives. That's the only kind of faith He's pleased with. I want to ask you six questions this morning, and I ask everyone that's listening to give this to answer these questions with utmost honesty. There are six questions, and they're questions only you can answer. That's the title of this lesson, is Questions Only You Can Answer. First question, are you choosing to make a name for yourself in this world or to be a nobody who follows Christ? Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Egypt was the most powerful, wealthiest nation in the world. And the ruler who ruled that nation was the most powerful man in the world. And Moses was next in line to take that throne. But believing God and choosing to give up all for his Lord, Moses declined and followed the Lord. Here's the second question. Are you choosing a life of ease and pleasure in this world, or suffering this world's disapproval for Christ's sake? Verse 25 says, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is enjoyable to our flesh. It is a pleasure that we love by nature. It's the one thing that you and I never have to be taught how to do. We do it because we like it, because we love it, because it's what we are. Yet all the pleasures of sin last but a season, and it's a short season. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 47. In verse 7. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. The believer suffers affliction while in this flesh because the world is opposed to Christ. this world is opposed to Christ. I know it appears that this is the most religious age that there's ever been in the world. But this world hates Christ Jesus the Lord. The majority. But the believer knows that the pleasures of sin and the afflictions we suffer are nothing compared to the joy of our Lord and of following Him. The psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." There's no pleasure of this in this world that compares to the peace of being reconciled to God in Christ and having peace, of knowing that you stand before God complete and accepted and able to approach Him with no fear of being punished for sin. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." It's a river that never ends. Well, here's the third question. Are you going after the riches of this world, or have you given them up to follow Christ? Verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." The rich young ruler couldn't do it. The Lord said, "Sell everything you have and follow me." And he was a rich man. And he was a young man with a long time to enjoy those riches. And he was a ruler, well-esteemed man. And he couldn't give them up. He walked away sorrowful from the Prince of Life. The folks in the Laodicean church thought that they had riches. They thought they were abundantly blessed in riches in their religion. And the Lord said, "You got to give that up. You're empty. You're lukewarm. Coming into my house to serve me with half a heart." The rich man in the Lord's parable, he couldn't do it either. He said he built him some barn, tore down his barns, had so much he had to build more barns. And when all his barns were filled, he said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and drink and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" The wise man Solomon said, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Honor the Lord by faith, with the substance of our hearts, with everything He's given us. Give ourselves wholly to Him. That's what the wise man's saying. And then your barns, your bank account may not be filled with plenty of money. Your garage may not be filled with plenty of luxury automobiles. Your freezer may not be filled with filet mignon. But by God's grace, the hearts of His people are filled with the fullness of Christ the Lord, with plenty. And when that happens, you're no longer going through this world trying to get everything you can get, because you've got everything that can be had. You got Christ the Lord, and you're content with what you have. Well, look here with me at the fourth question. Why would Moses or any man ever take such a path? For Moses, the path of the world that he could have taken in this world would have offered him power and prestige and pleasure and riches. And the path that he took promised him suffering and affliction, reproach and ridicule, all of which he suffered greatly. Why on earth would any man take that path? It says, verse 26, "By faith Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Oh, so you mean Moses looked ahead and he thought, "Well, you know, I'm going to have a mansion in heaven, and I'm going to have those cars, and I'm going to have all those things that I'm going to do without here." That's not what it means. It means he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, meaning he trusted the Lord to be his reward. He trusted the Lord who would rule and take care of him with loving kindness and in judgment and in righteousness. The reward of trusting the Lord to be his wisdom and not to have to depend on the own arm of his own strength. He looked to the reward of one day beholding the riches of God himself in all his glory. We sat out there last night for hours waiting to see a silly balloon. What about beholding the riches of his glory? Hello, I believe I can wait for that. I believe I can hold out. The reward of having Christ is all his righteousness and all his holiness. That's the reward. Christ himself is the reward. Christ is our inheritance. There'd be no heaven if Christ is not there. No matter how good things are, if he's not there, it's not heaven. So when the people mocked Moses for believing God, when they ridiculed him and esteemed him as such a nobody and nothing in this world, he considered it to be the highest honor that could ever be bestowed upon him. Greater riches than Egypt could ever give him. The reproach that men had for him because he trusted Christ alone. Because having Christ, he didn't care. He really didn't care what men thought about him. He just didn't care. Do you young people that you get up in the mornings, I can remember getting up in the mornings, getting ready to go to school. And I was a boy, I wasn't a girl, so I can't even imagine what it'd be like being a girl. But I can remember when I started getting up to where, you know, you kind of started thinking about what other folks thought about how you dressed and if you was cool or not, you know. And boy, I'd go into that closet and I'd stand there for 30 minutes trying to figure out what in the world to put on. And then I'd put it on, I'd take it off, put something else on. And I'd look in the mirror and I couldn't get my hair like it ought to be. It wasn't like the coolest fellas, you know. My hair just wouldn't fix like that. And it was nice to get old enough to where I realized, you know, that don't matter. I don't care what they think about me. Well, it's nice whenever you come to know Christ by faith to where you don't care what other people think about the Christ you worship. You really don't care what they think about you. Moses believed he loved the Lord. Because he was willing to suffer reproach and suffer affliction because he loved the people the Lord loved. It says there in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He could have taken that throne to be the king of Egypt. And he could have had a multitude of people, a whole kingdom full of people to serve him and be at his beck and call. And instead, he beheld that God had chosen these people and put them in Christ Jesus the Lord. He beheld that those brethren that truly trusted the Lord, that they were righteous and sanctified in Christ their surety. That he would lay down his life, live and die for them to make them righteous and purge them and make them holy. And he beheld the great sacrifice that Christ would give to do that for them. And he beheld, not only that, but he beheld that everything that was taking place with him and his family and his brethren and everybody in that world, everything that was taking place by the direct hand of God Almighty, moving everything in accordance with his will and purpose to glorify Christ his Son, and he was doing it all for those brethren of his. And because they were precious to God, they were precious to Moses. And he said, I would rather stay here with them and help them than to go to that throne and have all those riches bestowed upon me. That's what Paul said. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's why a believer gives himself to the gospel. Is for his brethren, that they might inherit the inheritance of Christ. And then Moses walked this path because he feared God and not men. Look at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now I want you to be sure you understand what this means. Now you be sure you understand what this means. A lot of folks can forsake a lot of things. There's a lot of folks in churches this morning that profess to believe on Christ the Lord, that profess to have denied themselves of many things, and I'll tell you the things they've denied themselves of. Actually boast about the things they've denied themselves of. If you mourn the things you've denied yourself of and left behind, you ain't left them behind. You haven't left them behind. You like Lot's wife, looking back, because you ain't really left Sodom. But I want you to see here what that means, that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You're going to want to see this. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 8. When the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, he sent Moses to that man with these words, out of Moses' stuttering mouth, with these words. And he said, "Let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now, Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. And here's what Pharaoh said to him. "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." Now get what he's saying. Go. That's fine, Moses. But now, if your God's the ever-present God, you don't have to go out into the wilderness to worship Him. You can worship Him right here in Egypt. Worship Him right here in this land. You don't have to assemble with the Lord's people in the place that the Lord has appointed and given His blood to establish and said, "That's where I'll meet with my people." You don't have to go there. You can worship God out in the wilderness, in the trees, in Egypt. You don't have to be with the Lord's people. Worship. You're being too narrow on how the Lord says He's going to be approached. You don't have to worship Him that way now. Broaden your mind a little bit. Pharaoh said to Moses, "You can worship right here in this land." And Moses replied there in verse 26 and 27. He said, "Not so. Not so. We will offer the abomination of Egypt and they'll stone us." What's he mean by that? He means the God that we serve, Egypt considers an abomination. They hate the God we serve. And if we worship here amongst these Egyptians, they hate our God so much, they'll kill us. They will destroy us. And he said this right here. "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us." We're not going to compromise with you, Pharaoh. We're not going to worship here in this Egypt. We're going just where God said go, and we're going to worship just like God said worship. Well, as all men do when they're attempting to sway you to their way of thinking, Pharaoh gives in a little. And there in verse 28, he says, "I'll let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far." Don't go the whole 3 days' journey. You can't go that far. "But I'll let you go into the wilderness. You just can't go that far." But Moses wouldn't compromise. And he said no. And then over in Exodus chapter 10, Moses comes to Pharaoh again. And says the same thing. Let the Lord says, "Let my people go into the wilderness that they may worship me." This time in Exodus 10 and verse 8, Moses says, "Who are they that shall go?" Okay, who you want to take with you? And Moses answered, "We'll go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds." And Pharaoh says there in verse 11, he says, "That sounds pretty good. Go now ye, but just the men. Just the men, and serve the Lord. You got to leave the kids here, children here. You got to leave your wives here. You got to leave the sacrifices here. You men go. You can go." You know, we'd come down there to Rocky Hill and worship with y'all, but they just got so many things for our kids. We don't want to bring our kids with us down there, because we got things for our kids here. Moses said, where we go worship God, we're taking our children with us. They're going with us where we go. Well, Moses wouldn't compromise. And so finally, Pharaoh gives Moses the best offer yet. And this right here is the sum and substance of everything that would have taken place if Moses would have compromised with Pharaoh anywhere along the line. Verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. You take your kids with you. But you leave the sacrifice here. Oh boy, down there where we worship, we hear the best messages on how to serve God, how to be a faithful servant of God. Our preacher don't say too much about the blood. He don't talk too much and he don't ever tell us that we're sanctified in Christ, that we're holy in Christ, that Christ is all our sanctification, because then we wouldn't want to work and serve God. We got to serve God, you know. There's things a man's got to do. There's more to Scripture than just Christ. Look what Moses said. Moses said, verse 26, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. If we're going to come to our God, there's only one way we can come to Him, and that's in the blood of a substitute. That's in a spotless lamb that died in our room instead, and that's Christ. And if we don't have Him, there's no point in us going into the wilderness. There's no point in us serving God. There's no point in us taking our children. There's no point in us taking our wives. There's no point in us even doing anything but compromising with you, Pharaoh. And that we won't do. We're worshiping God the way God said worship Him. God said, you come to the place I've appointed. You come amongst your brethren and with your brethren. You teach your sons and your daughters of me, of my ways. And you come to me one way, and that's in the blood of a lamb. And don't compromise. Don't come any other way. And Moses took this path because by faith he beheld Christ, that Passover lamb. It says, verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses, when he beheld that lamb, he beheld Christ, that spotless Lamb of God. When they killed that lamb, he beheld his Messiah that was to come, that would lay down his life for him, that he might live and go free. When he put the blood on that door, lintel of that door, over that door, and he went in under that blood, he understood what it meant to trust God alone by faith and to enter into the house and shut the door and not go out. And when they woke up the next morning and all Egypt was crying out because God had passed through and smote the firstborn in Egypt and killed them in righteous judgment, and yet he passed over them because he saw the blood, Moses said, that's all my hope and all my salvation. That's all my hope and all my salvation. And he believed God. And having asked these four questions, let me ask you this fifth question. This fifth question. What have you given up to follow Christ? Folks can't give up. They can't give up the possibility of what this world can offer them in power and influence. Folks can't give up the pleasures of sin to follow Christ. Folks can't give up the riches of this world to follow Christ. Folks can't give up their false way of thinking and their false religion and that gospel of compromise that they think is going to bring them into God's presence. What have you given up to follow Christ? We cannot be the friend of God and the friend of the world. It's impossible to follow Christ without giving up everything else. Everything. Look with me at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. There was a multitude of people. When the Lord walked this earth, there was a multitude of people who followed Him. And they professed to believe Him. But the fact of the matter was, they hadn't given up anything. They hadn't given up anything. Made a profession, but they hadn't given up anything. Now look here what he said. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. And all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, but was not able to finish it. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What's he saying? Well, I've sat down and I've counted the cost, and I don't know now if I'm live up to the mark where I will be able to follow Christ all that long. I don't know if I can build that tower. I don't know if I can wage that war. What he's saying to you is, do you realize you can't? Do you realize you can't, and do you completely trust that I can? Have you counted the cost and realized that I am the only one that can pay the wages that you owe and build the house? And thus you followed me with your whole heart? Because if you haven't, and you haven't given up everything you have, you can't be my disciple. You're not really following me. You haven't left everything. And he says here, salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith it shall be seasoned, it's not fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What have you given up to follow Christ? Last question. Question number 6. Do you think you'll be disappointed if you leave all and follow Christ, trusting Him alone? Do you think you'll be disappointed? Was Moses? Look at verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. You know, by this time, the Lord told Moses, everybody that sought your life, they're dead. That means Pharaoh, if Moses would have chosen to stay in line for that throne, he'd be the Pharaoh. He could have made his profession that he's following Christ and still tried to straddle that fence and still be the king of Egypt. But he'd have been the one leading the army that tried to go across that Egypt by the strength of their own hand, and they'd have drowned. He'd have died right there. But instead, by God's grace, by faith, Moses, along with all of God's departed saints in every age, have gone across the Red Sea on dry land. dry land. And when his heart was overflowing with thanksgiving and joy, on the other side, Moses lifted up his voice with these words, and he said, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." He wasn't disappointed. He was not disappointed. And no person that ever cast their care on Christ, forsaking everything, bearing the reproach that comes with believing Him, suffering for Christ's sake in this world, waiting on Him, and never disappointed. They're never disappointed. I beseech you this morning to be honest before the all-knowing God. These six questions are questions only you can answer. And I ask you to do this. Turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which, past tense, delivered us from the wrath to come. I don't know what else to tell you. I could give a lot of advice to somebody like AJ going off to college, but it'd be worth nothing. These are questions you got to answer. These are questions you got to answer. I pray God to give you grace to answer them.